Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to talk today about a theme I began yesterday, talking about the fear of the Lord and the grace to be able to tremble before God. Does that sound strange? Does that seem weird? Does it seem like out of place? It is a great grace to be able to know and to taste the holiness of God and the fear of the Lord, and why the church remembers and reminds us and actually brings us into a grace and confirmation to be able to receive the gift of the fear of the Lord in more places. And it's gotten watered down so much today in culture because people are so afraid that people might be afraid of the fear of the Lord, ironically, that they'll get the wrong idea about God. So we soften it. It's like a sense of awe. Yeah, God, that's a part of it, but it's deeper than that. And the Psalms are filled with an understanding of trembling before the majesty and the holiness of God. And if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program yesterday, I encourage you to listen to it. I don't want to repeat. I shared a story myself of experiencing when I was like 20 years old in a prayer time with some other seminarians, the Holy Spirit coming and just giving me a tremendous taste of the fear of God. And I was literally laying on the ground trembling in a way. It's the experience of the fear of God is just like it's described in Scripture. It's pure. There's something wonderful about it. There's something that cleanses us, and almost in an instant, it just like shifts the whole paradigm internally. You know, the fear and the tumult and the trouble and the worry and the anxiety that's so present, and at least was present in my heart. You know, the fear of stepping out, the fear of standing up for Jesus, the fear of actually following in his footsteps, the fear of coming out of my comfort, you know, and the things that I secured my comfort and the rest of it, but just to belong more to the Lord and just stand up and testify and to bear witness to who he is. And we're at a crucial time, yes, for our country in many ways, but really for the church. I think the biggest battle is in the church. Sometimes I think of the words of Al Cresta here at Ave Maria Radio. He said, you know, build the church and you'll bless the nation. That the church, in order for the church to be a blessing in the world to any nation, is for the church to be herself fully, to be totally alive to Christ, to be alive in him and filled with not only tender mercies, which most people grasp and get, you know, the gentleness that's in Jesus. You know, Jesus is a very complex person. You know, he's got this side to him that he's meek and humble of heart. His meekness is all that strength that's in him is under control. And it's perfectly ordered toward love. And it's perfectly ordered in humility toward yielding all of his resources and his strength to the will of the Father and the Father's purpose. It's beautiful. And he wants to produce that in us, and it's very important. But Jesus also was filled with zeal. And Jesus also communicated to us the spirit of the fear of the Lord that's present throughout the Bible. I remember when he cleansed the temple. It's a part of Jesus' personality. You know, sometimes people say, I've heard people say, we had this discussion in our staff a while back, some of us, one of the brothers was saying, yeah, you know, there's these passages in the New Testament, you know, where, you know, the loving passages where Jesus, really the love of Jesus is so present. And then there's these other passages. And I said, time out, stop right there. There's not a passage in the New Testament where Jesus spoke, where he taught, where he acted, that's not an expression of the love, the perfect love of God. Even, friends, this scene of the cleansing of the temple that's in the beginning of John's gospel, but later in the Synoptic Gospels, where Jesus goes into the temple and there's this money exchanges going on. And there's a lot happening in this passage about the dying of the old, you know, the soon experienced reality of the destruction of the temple, and Christ is the new temple. There's a ton in that passage. But one of the things you see is Jesus, as the apostles, it says, later understood that Jesus was walking in the zeal for his Father's house, the zeal for the holiness of his Father's house, and that there was corruption in his Father's house in that holy place. And Jesus stood up and he took action. One man against everybody that was there. He took cords and he literally whipped them, drove them out, turned over their tables, took their bags of money and threw them down and said, get out. He had zeal. He had zeal that was enlightened zeal, Now, some of the people we see in the streets destroying other people's property, hurting people, intimidating people, bullying people, they might think they have zeal, but that's called unenlightened zeal. It's self-centered. It's violent. It's disordered. It's not like Jesus, the meekness of Christ. His strength is under control toward the love of God and ultimately for the good of others. Remember, loving, to love is to will the good of the other as other. That's not what's happening out there. That's not what's happening. I'm not saying that there's not some people who in different ways today are responding in an important way to collective historic sins. Racism, it's still present in places in the culture, and we need to continue to repent of it and to bring healing to it and to bring change. I'm not talking about that. That's a God thing. That's a good thing. But there's a lot of disordered stuff that's trying to co-opt that moment in the wrong direction. And so it's filling the culture with rage and also filling it with intimidation and fear. And it's seeped into the church. There's a kind of fear of men virus that's in the church, that's in many of us. The fear of standing up, the fear of being identified with Jesus at a time like this when it's uncomfortable. I'm just talking about in the church itself, because there's voices emerging in the church itself that sound just like the voices in the world and that are demanding that the church change along the lines that people are demanding in the broader culture, that the culture change. Well, what we're living, friends, in is a deconstruction of the culture that we once shared. We shared for generations. And there's different values, there's competing values, there's competing worldviews. People are pulling down statues, not just a Confederate statue, but all kinds of statues, church, that, you know, saints, Our Lady, all this stuff, because there are forces in the country and there's spiritual forces behind them that want to deconstruct and take apart and destroy and shame the historical narrative, which is the story of our country. But it's only a stepping stone, because it's going to come for the church. Because the real battle, friends, is between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. That's where the action is. That's where the devil is ultimately heading. That's why the statues of saints are coming down. That's why they're pressing in. And this self-righteous rage is now coming to say that they find God's ways, God's people, God's laws, Jesus's exclusive claims, they find him offensive. And they're starting to make war against it. You can count on it. But this is a really important moment for the church. It's an amazing opportunity. If we know our scriptures and we know the lives of the saints, none of the saints go looking for trouble. But when trouble comes, they rise to the occasion and they follow in the footsteps of Jesus, who bore witness to the truth, even to the point of death, right? The apostles were empowered by the Spirit to walk and to follow Jesus in that same direction and to do the same thing. And so Peter talked about this before in the program in his first letter. First Peter, he's talking to a community that's being persecuted, facing lots of challenges. Peter says to them, it almost seems like lacking in compassion, but it's not at all. Peter says to them, why are you surprised by the fiery ordeal that's come upon you to purify you? Why is there a fiery ordeal coming upon the church, a pressure to abandon what we believe, to conform to the world, being pressured to say, if you don't say these things, if you don't salute these new values, if you don't affirm things that you don't believe, if you don't affirm these things, it's going to cost you. We're going to cancel you. You're going to lose your job. All this is intimidation, the pressure of the kingdom of darkness that's starting to come against the church to get the church to surrender its truth. And to be a Christian, to be a disciple, means to bear witness to the truth, to stand. What does Paul say, right? We're battling against not people, not human beings, but principalities and powers. And he said, stand. Don't be intimidated. Don't be cowed. Don't be foolish. The king has already won the war. There's battles and skirmishes, but don't be afraid. You have an opportunity, Peter says, now to stand. And he said, when you are mocked, ridiculed, marginalized, persecuted in any way for standing to identify with Jesus and Jesus' teaching, Jesus' kingdom, Jesus' worldview, he said, rejoice, because God's glory is upon you. You have the privilege of being identified so intimately with the rejection that came upon Jesus. It's a gift. And I think if we're not careful, because we have so much in us still that's worldly, you know, shot through with the fear of men, too much inordinate self-love, desire for comfort. We want the world to be something that it's not. Look, I have all these treasures that I built. I just want to be left alone, and I just want to have all my stuff, and I want to, whatever it is, I don't want the name that I made for myself. I don't want my neighbors to not like me. I don't want my colleagues to think I'm strange. Oh, no, I don't. All of a sudden, there's a cost. Even though Jesus talked a lot about cost and what he expected from us, we all say it and talk about it. But as soon as it even comes in little baby steps, like it's coming now, it's like, no, we don't want this. We don't want this. That's why a lot of people are leaving the church. There's a sifting that's going on. Jesus says, who's with me? Who wants to follow me? Who, like one of the first readings this week, I think it was on Monday, Jesus said, who is willing to hate his own life, right? To follow. And so yesterday was speaking about this great spiritual gift, the fear of the Lord, which helps ground our courage. And the courage is to, you know, the willingness to sustain a wound in defense of what's true, what's good, what's beautiful, what God has revealed. And the teaching of the Lord, right? And so the fear of the Lord recognizes that the most foolish thing anybody can do is to act against God or fail to recognize and act in God's will and God's purpose. That's the craziest thing anybody could ever do. The world looks so big and strong and intimidating, but when you get a taste of the fear of the Lord and the reality of eternity and the magnitude and the holiness of God, you're not going to fear men in the same way. So it's really good to pray for the gift of the fear of the Lord, to summon those graces that we've been given in confirmation and really put them to work and say, Lord, I really want to be zealous like you for the right things in the right way, for love, but full of zeal like you and courage. And I want to have the fear of your holy name, Lord, so that I can help warn people who are acting foolish. I don't have to be afraid of them. I was thinking of Psalm 2 today, which I talk about periodically. When the kings of the earth set themselves against the Lord and his anointed, that Lord sits in the heavens and laughs at them. He laughs at their desire to be set against him. And King David goes to the kings and all their power and the rulers that are going to make their own way. And they're basically putting their fist up to God. He said, be warned, be wise, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and with trembling, kiss his feet, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Yeah, that's the fear of the Lord, the zeal that's in David. He's not afraid of those guys at all. But he goes in love to warn them before it's too late. Do we have that in us? We should pray for it while we can, so we can be everything the Father intends us to be in this hour. God bless you, friends.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.